Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and good to be social. And today we're going to talk about how solo practitioners or small law firms can use media relations to promote their practice. Our guest today is a dear friend, Janet Falk. Janet is a public relations and marketing communications professional who advises attorneys with either a solo practice or a small firm. She has placed clients in top-tier media and industry trade publications, read by their clients and referral sources, and someone will be quoted in that news story. Make the source be you. Welcome to the show, Janet.
Guy, thank you. I'm very excited to talk with you here.
Well, it's great to finally have you on our show. So before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you ended up doing PR in the legal industry.
Guy, this is a very long story. We don't have enough time for this.
I will say that
my first career was as a college professor of Spanish language and literature. I have a PhD. And then my next career, after I did training in an intense executive MBA style program, was as a securities analyst on Wall Street, where I often spoke to investor relations professionals. And I thought I could do their job because I understood what an analyst would ask about, and it was like teaching. So I took a course in investor relations and worked for a public relations agency that did investor relations work. And from there, I moved on to different public relations agencies doing more general public relations work and with some nonprofits until my last full-time job was with an agency whose principal client was an Am Law 50 firm. And when that ended with the financial crisis of 2008, I set up myself as an independent public relations professional, working with law firms and with other clients. So my background includes academia, nonprofit, public relations, Wall Street, and law firms.
Excellent. That's a great background. And I'm sure having all of that rich, robust background really gives you a great ability, not just to help in the legal industry, but also find the right placement for many of the different practice areas that are out there.
Yes, that's true, Guy. I take a real bottom line business-oriented approach. One thing that I like to think about is, so what, who cares? How can this insight by an attorney help someone else save time, save money, or make more money? Because I think that's what everyone in business is trying to do. So that guides my presentation of an attorney's insight or a client alert or a suggestion for a story idea is who's on the other side of the table and what is it that they are concerned about? Do they want to save time, save money, or make more money? In many instances, an attorney is keeping a client within the bounds of what is acceptable behavior because of changes in compliance or regulation or legislation. And when an attorney does that successfully, then the client doesn't have to think about that issue anymore and they can focus on making more money.
You know, so that's funny, the adage you mentioned. I know on a similar one, I guess, which is, it's not what you do, it's what you can do for me, right? So I think that you're absolutely right. When lawyers want to get out there in the media, they can't necessarily think about, oh, I want to get out there with what I do, but it's more from a client-centric perspective is how can you help people or how can your content be useful or educational or valuable, right?
Right, right. We all know that the world's greatest radio station is WIIFM, meaning what's in it for me.
Exactly.
So by putting the client in the center and understanding how a client is going to be making decisions based on your activity or your insight, then you will be able to think like the client and give them that kind of information. So naturally, when a client reads about you, then they will want to be in touch with you. Or when a referral source reads about you in the news, then they will want to be in touch with you.
I love it. So tell us, why should attorneys undertake media relations? Why is it important for them?
So I just mentioned about referral sources, Guy, and as you're in the social media world, you understand that an attorney can do this for themselves, social media, or they can work with a specialist like yourself. But in the end, social media is what we say about ourselves. And it's pretty widely acknowledged that it is self-promotion. But if you're using media relations, then you are adding a reporter to your team almost as an unpaid member of your team. And you are getting third-party validation. So it's not that I say that I'm great and have this wonderful idea that someone else can save time, save money, make more money. It's that the reporter is quoting me, so it sounds like it's more objective and it's more factual, and it's something that I ought to look into further because that's what I care about for myself, or that's what I care about for the clients that I might be referring to this attorney source. So I see media relations as a way that an attorney can remain top of mind with referral sources because they will see this person in the news talking about issues that have an impact, whether it's for themselves or whether it's for an individual, whether it's for a business, or it might even be for a corporation. So once you do achieve that news story, once you do publish that article in an industry trade publication, or you're featured in the news on television or in a radio segment, you can capture that. And of course, you will distribute it and redistribute it across digital media platforms, which is where you come into play, of course, Guy. Mm-hmm. And that might be LinkedIn, or it might be Twitter, or it would resurface in areas where people are looking for that kind of information as appropriate. So I see the social media as a tool that can be repurposing the content that is generated through media outreach and news media stories. I like to think that business is business, and it doesn't go away. It's going to go to someone else. So news is news in the same way. Someone is going to be quoted talking about whatever the issue might be, and let's work to make this attorney be that source featured in the news story.
So I completely agree with you. Let me ask you, how do attorneys connect with reporters? Because it's not so easy to do. Or maybe it is.
It is if you have the right tools. It's like a game. There are rules, there's equipment, and there's the uniform. So you have to introduce yourself professionally to a reporter so that they will say, aha, this is an authoritative person who has insight into a timely issue that my readers or my viewers need to know more about. So the tool that I use is called a media profile. And I think, Guy, if you'll be so kind, you can include a link in the show notes so that people can see a sample media profile for an attorney. And there's even a worksheet there so that they can practice developing one, and then they can ask me about a free 30-minute consult if they're so inclined.
That's great.
So
we
a media profile.
Definitely do that.
Oh, great. Great. I'm so glad. So a media profile is not your CV. It's not your bio, but it's a much shorter document. And it says, here's an attorney who's a source who can comment on certain issues that people need to know more about. And the way that it's written is, first you give the contact information of the attorney, name, phone number, address, and their email address. And you have to give a physical address because in many states, the rules of professional conduct require that because a media profile may be viewed as attorney advertising. So once you have a contact information, then you give 3 to 5 sentences that broad strokes paint a picture of your practice. Then you give 3 to 5 bullet points that are more specific about your practice. So product liability litigation or international M&A transactions are examples. Mm-hmm. Then there's a next section, which is hot topics or timely issues or trends on the horizon that the reporter may be overlooking, But if they only knew about this, then they would understand why to talk to this particular attorney. And then the last part I like to give is a quote, something that might be a little snappy that conveys the substance of the point or the attorney's personality. And at the end is the contact information of the assistant or the public relations professional, because an attorney is very busy and can't be taking calls in the middle of the day that would interrupt their workflow. So I would develop this media profile for an attorney, or an attorney could do it themselves, perhaps with my help or not. And then you share this media profile with reporters who cover the topics that are most interesting to your clients. And you can find them by looking on the masthead of the publication, and there usually is an indication of their email address. And in most cases, it's pretty easy to figure that out. Or a lot of reporters put their email address in their Twitter profile because they want people to be sending them story ideas. And if you can't find the reporter by email or by their Twitter profile, you probably can find them on LinkedIn. And in the last case, you can ask a friendly public relations professional, because they have a media database that lists every publication you can think of and the email address of every reporter that works there. Let me tell you, Guy, that reporters are always looking for sources, and they always want to receive information like a media profile. In fact, there was one reporter who said, "I want a 50-word description of what an attorney knows about a subject so that I can determine whether or not it's worth talking to that attorney." So I want to repeat that so that people really get the idea that reporters want a 50-word description of what an attorney knows about a subject so the reporter can determine whether or not it's worth talking to that attorney. So using a media profile is a way of professionally tooting your own horn, so to speak, and it meets the need of the reporter by conveying this information very succinctly. And maybe in that moment, or maybe down the line, the reporter will add that information about the attorney to their database for future reference. Would you like to give you an example of how I did this?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So at one point, I was representing an attorney in Chicago. I was in New York, and she had a bankruptcy practice, and she focused primarily on the airline industry. Now, this was a couple of years ago, and the airline industry, as you know, has a lot of ups and downs. And bankruptcy is a serious consideration for the airline industry. So I developed a media profile about her, and I contacted reporters who followed the airline industry. One such reporter was at Thomson Reuters and happened to be in Chicago. So I sent this media profile to the reporter. He was interested, and I arranged for them to have coffee. And they had a 45-minute conversation. And then 3 weeks later, there was a news story by this Reuters reporter talking about bankruptcy issues in the airline industry. Now, everyone cares about the airline industry, right, Guy? Because you travel for business, you travel for pleasure, maybe you work with an airline, maybe you work in a destination resort that you can only get to by airline, right? So everybody cares about the airline industry. And this story, because it was Reuters, got picked up all around the world in different newspapers, because everyone cares about the airline industry. And it included 5 quotes from this attorney, name of attorney, name of law firm. And there were a couple other quotes from a securities analyst from a bank in Chicago, just to add a little color. So this story would not have happened without that conversation between the reporter and the bankruptcy attorney. And that conversation would not have happened without a media profile that said, "This is an attorney who can talk about these burning issues that are going to affect the airline industry and that people need to know more about." So a 50-word description of what an attorney knows on a subject will pique the interest of a reporter and make them want to know more, either in the moment or as a source for future reference.
I love that. That's great. That's a great story. So let me ask you a question, though. So let's say you've done that, and let's say you have an idea for a specific article that you want to get published, you know, in a trade publication where your prospective clients might read them. How would you go about doing that?
Well, I would think about this in two related ways, guys. The first way is it's always good to write something that's kind of a case study and partner with a client, because having the client as the co-author will give you greater credibility to the editor of that industry newsletter. It will speak to the issues and use the language of that industry. When you do most of the writing as the attorney, then you become closer to that client, right? And sure. At the end, you're going to make that client look brilliant because all of their buddies in the industry are going to see that they got published in the newsletter. So it's a good idea to partner with a client in this instance because it gives you greater credibility as an author and builds the relationship. But let's say you don't have a case study. Let's say you just have an idea of something that's going on in the industry that people need to know more about. So my suggestion is to come up with a three-sentence paragraph that says, this is the kind of thing, this is the theme that we're going to talk about, and then you add 3 to 5 bullet points of what it is that you want to discuss. And then you send this to the reporter or to the editor of the publication. Notice you're only sending an outline, a paragraph with a theme and a couple of bullet points. You ask for the word count and the deadline. And this is the reason why. Say you wrote something that was 600 words, and the editor came back to you and said, oh, this is so interesting, Guy, but we only have 500 words. Or say you wrote something that was 600 words, and they said, Guy, this is fantastic, but could you also look at this other particular aspect? And by the way, we go 750 for this kind of article. So whether it's too short or too long, this is like the bed of Procrustes. You have to stretch it or shrink it in order to fit the need of the publication. In effect, you're writing a second article. So by asking for the word count, you can make sure that you write it exactly the way that they want it. I once wrote an article with an attorney, and it was about a change in regulation that was going to affect retailers. And we wrote several different versions of it. One was about restaurants, one was about drugstores, one was about chain stores, and they were all different lengths because each publication had a different word count requirement. So that's my suggestion. The best is to partner with a client, but if you can't do that, then suggest the theme of the article in 3 to 5 sentences, a couple of bullet points of what you'd like to cover, and then ask for the word count and the deadline before you write the article. And if you do that, the article will basically write itself and you'll be buddy-buddy with your client.
I love it. So let me ask you another question. News is not always great. Media attention is not always great. What happens when you have a client who's in trouble and you say to her, well, say no comments? Is that the correct thing that should be recommended to a client in your mind?
No, Guy, I always counsel against saying no comment. No comment looks very bad for the client. It makes it seem like the client didn't manage the situation before they got into trouble, and it makes it look like they don't know what's going on now that they're in trouble. So my suggestion is to think about the 3 R's, which are not reading, writing, and arithmetic like in elementary school. They are regret, recompense, and reform. But before I describe what that is, I want to think, what is it that's happening now that we're in this terrible, immediate situation? And the client may not have many facts about what the problem is and who is involved and how to resolve it, because it may be at another location than where they presently are. Imagine a client that has a factory in another town or another division in another city. So this is what I recommend. You start out by saying, we're very sorry about what happened at whatever the name of the place is. We're very sorry about what happened there. From what we know at this point, the facts are A, this happened, B, that happened, C, that happened, and then you state the facts. We are monitoring the situation closely, and we are in touch with the local authorities, the local police, the local fire department, the local hospital. So we are very sorry about what happened. From what we know at this point, these are the facts. We are in touch with the local authorities. We will calculate the damage and do what we can to make those who have suffered whole again. And you can create this statement and you can publish it on your website. You can distribute it as a press release and you can walk around and carry it with you wherever you go. And then you can say to anyone who catches you, let me get your contact information and we will be in touch as more details become known. Thank you for your interest. And you should repeat this same statement as often as you can and the same way until the questions stop and until you have more information that you can update. So the whole point of this is to show that you are aware of the trouble, that you know there are losses, that you are sympathetic to those who were affected by the trouble, and you will be reachable and reaching out to the media as things develop. So I would now ask you to think about the three R's. So the three R's are regret, recompense, and reform. So regret is when you say, we are so very, very sorry, and you have to mean it and be genuine about it. Recompense is when you say, here's how we will make it up to those who have suffered a loss. We're going to give you a coupon. We're going to give you a replacement of whatever it was that was damaged. We're going to set up a college scholarship fund for the children of the deceased employee. So you have regret, you have recompense, and now we're going to talk about reform. Reform is we're going to commission an external consultant to review our policies and our procedures. And we're going to go from top to bottom and bottom to top to ensure that this will never, ever, ever happen again. And this is the way that you respond to a client in trouble. You offer a statement that will respond to the known facts in the moment and show you are cooperating with the local authorities. You show sympathy to the people who were affected and you make yourself available and get back in touch with any media who contact you. And you keep repeating it. And you take into account the three R's of regret, recompense, and reform. It is the worst thing when a client or a prospect or a member of the community or a regulator or an elected official sees spokesperson for the company was not available for comment. They always think the worst.
Great advice. All right, Jenna. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but this has been really, really valuable. I guess before I let you go, would you have a word of advice or a takeaway for our listeners that you would recommend?
Yes. It's often been said that a media interview is a very bad time for an original thought. And what that means is you should have in mind what you want to talk about. I recommend you have three bullet points. And you write them out in 16-point font. And you print that and you put it right on your desk because the reporter is conducting a phone interview and cannot see your cheat sheet, so to speak. So when you have an interview, make sure you have prepared ahead of time. You have your bullet points in a large font so that you'll be able to keep them top of mind and make sure you cover everything that you plan to. And you know, Guy, that's what I did here.
I love it. Well, that is great advice. And thank you so much for being on the show today. It was a pleasure having you, and we'll hopefully have you back to get more valuable information.
I'd love to do that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Guy.
You're very welcome. For our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode and you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast directly from there, as well as listen to some of our great prior episodes. Thank you, Janet, and thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.